Community by Jessica Westhead. Produced by 6 Degrees Music and Productions for WordFest Banff Calgary International Writers Festival.
On the early morning subway ride home from the cast party, I'm just like all the other guys here. We're leaving behind wild times that went all night. Our eyes are half closed. Some of us are asleep.
Yo, what? Passed out?
In the seats across from me, three big teenager boys are passing a red Bic lighter back and forth.
Fuck. I'm so hungover.
Fuck, I think I'm still drunk.
I nod because I know what they mean. The guy on the right rubs the lighter unlit against his jeans. He flicks the lighter on and touches the flame to the same spot.
I swear to you, is this supposed to work?
The play? Received excellent reviews in both the local papers. So the lead actor, whose name is Sean, is now pretty much a star in his own right. One writer said,
"He moved like a god."
Which in most cases would have been an exaggeration. But Sean was actually playing God, so if he hadn't been moving like one, then something would have been seriously wrong with his performance. All of his critical acclaim would have excused him, you know, if he had given me any sort of high and mighty attitude at the cast party. But he didn't. He was completely kind in every way. Sean was sitting on the director's couch, and I was standing across the room eating chips. Oh, the chips were good. They tasted like hot dogs. There's a new trend to make chips taste like food, as if chips would be nothing without the food-tasting powder sprinkled on. Now, the party was a potluck. Because in community theater, everybody has something special to contribute. I had brought the chips. Nedra, the lead actress, had brought homemade date squares. I did not like date squares, and I've never liked them in the history of my life, but Nedra was smiling at me from beside Sean on the couch, so I took one to be polite. I took a nibble of a tiny corner of the square's oatmeal topping. I was trying to avoid the inner mushed-up dates part, which makes me think of the tar sands, which are basically dinosaur toilets if you want to get scientific.
What do you think, Gerald? It's my mother's recipe.
Good!
I put my plate down when she looked away. I wanted to kick myself. Why did I even take it in the first place, knowing I wouldn't enjoy it? I thought about my own mother, who had never made a date square in her life, and I loved her for that. Her specialty was pie. She even told me once,
"Gerald, we are all made of various slices of pie, and some of us have more lemon meringue or coconut cream in them than others. Then you have the mincemeat people."
Nedra fell into the mincemeat category. She was wearing a sparkly green gown that looked like a wizard's robe, and I pictured her casting an evil spell on me as punishment for rejecting her potluck contribution.
"Gerald is allergic to date squares, Nedra. You don't want to kill the poor guy, do you?"
I was confused for a second because I wasn't allergic. But then Sean winked at me.
"You're right, Sean. And thanks for reminding me.
I got your back."
I felt sorry for Nedra, since she had no idea what was going on. When Nedra did her monologue in the play, which was mostly a lot of crying and wailing after Sean's character slipped on an oil slick and fell off the end of the earth into the hell of our own making, the audience applauded, and nearly all of them stood up.
"My God, why?"
She got a standing ovation during the play. But there was one lady who remained seated. I could see the crowd by peeking up from behind the curtain, and this woman was the only one still in her chair, frowning at the stage. All around her, dozens of hands were flying and whacking each other, but she didn't move a muscle. My first thought was, maybe she was religious and was offended by the play's content. But then I remember seeing her laugh, along with her fellow audience members, when Sean tripped over an elephant that had been slaughtered by ivory poachers. The idea behind his character was to show God's clumsiness, or in other words, his humanity. So it probably wasn't the content that offended her. My next thought was that this lady must have a lot of guts to be so firm in her likes and dislikes, to sit there alone and go against what everyone else was doing. I am pretty much an enigma as far as what others know about me. People don't pry, and I'm fine with that. Not too many people were talking to me at the cast party, or should I say, no one was. Well, at least for the first few hours. At rehearsals, they would say,
"Hey, Gerald, can you move that chair over here?
Hey, Gerald, that backdrop needs something. More poisonous smog clouds, maybe."
I was only too happy to oblige. But Sean was different, right from the start. He saw my potential. At the first all-hands meeting, when the cast and crew sat in a circle and introduced ourselves, I said, "My name's Gerald." And Sean said,
"Did you say Harold?"
"No, with a G."
"I like Gerald better than Harold."
"All right, so the first thing we're going to do..."
After the meeting, Sean said he was going to slam dunks for wings in a pitcher, and did anybody want to go with him and run lines? Nedra batted her eyelashes at him and said she'd love to, but she had plans with her daughter. And the other cast and crew members all had plans with their families, too. But I said,
"I'll go with you, Sean."
"Gerald, my man."
We had an ant problem on set for a while because of Nedra. Oh, she didn't properly dispose of her prop sandwich, which was actually a real ham sandwich that she only took two bites out of in the scene. She was supposed to put the sandwich in a plastic bag after and take the plastic bag home, but she just left the sandwich sitting on the stage all night. The next day, ants everywhere. At home, I was not attending to the various things that needed doing in my apartment. Upkeep things, because I was so worn out from keeping up the set. Or as the director would say,
"The psychic space in the hive mind of the audience."
Which, of course, I didn't mind in the least. And the gratitude I could feel emanating from those around me made it all worth it. I would find messes at home. Spills and crumbs and nests of stray hairs that I would never have tolerated on set. At the cast party, the actors were all on one side of the director's living room and the set techs were on the other, which is how it went most of the time at the theater during rehearsals. The actors, with the exception of Sean, of course, who was cut from a different cloth, you know, something rugged like burlap or denim, are the type of people who look down upon non-actors. During rehearsals, we would all take our breaks at the same time, but there was that definite separation between cast and crew. Still, we all played our parts in crafting a successful production, as the director kept telling us. And she hosted the cast party for all of us because we all played our role so well, both on stage and off. Yesterday morning before the party, I was excited. I woke up and I thought to myself, I am going to have a pleasant morning, afternoon, and night. I had breakfast, washed the dishes that had been piling up in my sink since the play started, then went for a stroll and picked up my Jägermeister. I was excited about the Jägermeister because there were people in the cast who I wanted to get closer to. I was going to get drunk, and they were going to get drunk, and the party would get crazy, and then we'd see what happened. The set pieces I built included, but were not limited to, an African savanna, the Louisiana coastline with a bunch of gunked up birds and small animals, and the hell of our own making. It only took me 5 days to build Africa and 3 days to build Louisiana. Hell took a little bit longer because of the conceptual component. One of the reviews said that the set was
very realistic looking.
I have a woodworking background, which is a definite plus in set creation. If you got up really close to my set pieces, you would probably see little cracks, holes, blank spots, imperfections. But the idea is to step back and observe the whole picture. I created an illusion, and the overall effect is what needs to be judged. Don't overlook the branches for the leaves, or whatever it is they say.
At the cast party, it was problematic to go to the bathroom because the director's kitten was in there. The director told us she had to keep the cat away from everybody because there was something wrong with her. She was too violent. So every time I went in there, I had to defend myself against this little ball of fur and claws and teeth that kept catapulting itself at me. On set, There was a prop telephone with an old-fashioned curly cord that I liked to pick up every so often, and I would hold it to my ear for a joke and go,
"Hello? Hello? Who's there? Wrong number!"
And then I would hang it up forcefully. Oh, it was a riot. And a few people, including Sean, laughed almost every time. Otherwise, I mostly kept to myself. When we took our lunch breaks, I'd eat my cold-cut combo sub in the back, making sure not to leave any crumbs. There were ant traps everywhere, which the actors kept kicking accidentally, and then they would skid like little red and black hockey pucks across the stage. I brought cold-cut combos every time because they have three types of meat, and I needed the protein blast for the long days. People came to me when they needed things fixed, and I liked that. On the first day, when the director brought the cast and crew together, everybody was extra nice to each other and slaps on the back all around.
Looking forward to working with you.
But then the cast stopped talking to the crew and generally only talked to other cast members, and the crew didn't talk to anybody. But let's be reasonable here. We were all family, the cast and the crew. And the set techs, like me, were on exactly the same level as everyone else, which is what the director told us from the beginning. When one of our cast family members was in need, we attended to that need. When Sean and I went to Slam Dunks, there were big screens everywhere with different games playing on them. All these superior athletes throwing themselves at each other and throwing things at each other. Sean ordered us wings and beer that we ate and drank. And then he wiped his hands carefully with a wet nap and pulled out the script.
All right, well, I only have one copy of the script, so you'll probably have to scooch up close so you can read the other lines.
Yeah, sure. I can scooch.
He read his lines, and I read everybody else's, and the TV crowds cheered all around us. At the party, the director's TV was tuned to an animal blooper show, and we all watched a confused moose headbutting a tire swing that somebody had hung up in the woods. Everybody hooted along with the laugh track when the swing kept flying back to bonk the moose when he wasn't looking, and he'd jump. Then he'd headbutt the tire again because, you know, he was freaked out and probably pissed off, too. And it would swing away and then swing back and bonk him again. He'd jump and turn around and lower his antlers and then take another run at it. I felt kind of bad for laughing at him, but it was funny.
I pride myself on being creative and also efficient. I loved it when people referred to me as their go-to guy. Once, there was a prop emergency and the director came to me.
We need a bread box, pronto, for Nedra to put the loaf of bread in after she makes her sandwich.
Oh, there was another layer to it as well, since it was supposed to represent the bread box of heaven, where the baby angels were born and the bread was their pillow.
And we don't have anything left in the budget.
So I went to Value Village. But the closest thing they had was a butter dish. So I went to Goodwill, where an employee told me they had a cake plate, but no bread boxes.
Who uses bread boxes anymore?
It's for a plate.
Oh.
He looked at me like I was someone important, and then brought me a silicone muffin pan, which was both the wrong thing and too modern.
The play's about a fortune teller in the 1950s who predicts a bunch of future environmental disasters and ultimately the complete destruction of the planet. So we're going for realism with the props.
Right.
After all that, I went to my apartment as a last resort and dug up some old scrap metal that I had lying around my workshop, and I built a bread box from scratch. I took it to the gang, and Sean called me, and I quote,
"A hero."
Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
For my day job, as the actors like to call it, I'm an unemployed carpenter, so you can imagine how much I enjoyed working on this play. It gave purpose to my days. There's something beautiful about constructing an artificial universe for people to move around in and pretend to be other people in. Even though that artificial universe was damaged by humankind's short-sighted greed in the future, a.k.a. the present. Like I said, layers. It was all make-believe. But it meant something. Because eventually, people bought tickets and sat in the seats and watched the drama unfold. And were spellbound. Their experience was enriched by the actor's hand gestures and by the words invented by some writer who may still be alive or may be dead, but regardless, his words continue to live on in the immortal pages of the script. It was inspiring to be surrounded by art all day, which is what life in the theater is all about. It was a pretty amazing feeling to watch the actors and actresses acting out fake emotions, which, let's face it, are partly real under the surface. They couldn't possibly be totally fake when they said the things they said, or they would have to be robots. For instance, Sean is a very talented individual in the realm of show business, but at the cast party when he said,
"Gerald, I like you, buddy,"
I had to believe him. At least a little bit. When I woke up this morning on the director's living room floor, it took a few minutes to orient myself to the unfamiliar location. Then I saw the empty Jägermeister bottle in Nedra's pan of date squares, looking like the particle board model I built of the desiccated Fertile Crescent. It all came flooding back. The house was very dark and quiet. The living room was empty, except for me. I walked down the hall to the bathroom, and I stood at the door and listened to the kitten's claws scratching on the other side. I couldn't believe this little animal's energy and determination. Over and over, scritch, scritch, scritch. It didn't even meow. I looked at the other two closed doors. And then I opened the first one, slowly, and peeked inside. The director was sleeping in her bed with her husband, Bill. They had their arms around each other. I closed their door and I opened the other one and stepped into that room. A thin beam of light was coming in through the blinds, like a spotlight right on Sean's face. A reviewer would probably write that he slept like a god. And then the lump beside him. Nedra. I stood on the soft carpet. My neck was stiff from sleeping on the floor, but I didn't want to rub it. Sean's face was peaceful. He was so at ease in front of an audience. I wondered where he got his confidence from. At Slam Dunks, he asked the waitress,
"Do you actually use brand name hot sauce, or do you just fill up the brand name bottles with the generic stuff?"
"I don't know."
Then Sean made a gun with his hand and pointed it at her.
"Don't make me interrogate you now."
He was so dynamic. I wanted to squeeze all the acting juice out of him, make it run out of his ears and nose and mouth, everywhere. He had that kind of effect on people. The boy on the left lights his pants on fire, and small flame jumps across his jeans like a live thing. And he watches it for a few seconds before blowing on it and slapping it out. I smile. And I remember how the director told me at one point in the evening that they had my phone number, so they can call me if they need me. If and when my services are required again by the theatrical community, they have my contact information. She said I'm on a list.
"You're on the list, Gerald."
I imagine my name and number, copied out in careful handwriting on a crisp white sheet of paper in the director's Rolodex or whatever, or maybe even taped or tacked up somewhere. And that mental picture makes me feel better about the world. And although, as the play dramatically illustrated, it's ugly, fair, it stinks, it's our world. Which is a really nice thing to think about.
Community by Jessica Westhead, adapted and directed by Christian Gutsis. Starring Michael Shepard as Gerald, Nate Pronishin as Sean, Brianna Blizzard as Nedra, and Jamie Konchak as the director. Additional voices and characterizations by Mariette Sluter, Adila Dosani, Kieran McNaughton, Kyle Visvanathan, Juan Delgado, Jeremy Verkley, and Laura Schmitz. Engineered by Chris Vale and Jeff The Wind Sinclair. Produced by 6 Degrees Music and Productions for WordFest Banff Calgary International Writers Festival.